now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. American businesses are increasingly feeling inflationary pressures in the context of an improving global economy. For instance, an expanding percentage of executives in the Institute for Supply Management's manufacturing survey indicate that they are paying higher prices for materials. 47% said so in January, up from 42% a year earlier. As indicated by writer Sarah Cheney, a weaker U.S. dollar has been one key factor pushing producer prices higher. A growing number of businesses reports that prices are rising for steel, softwood lumber, copper, and other inputs to production. Employers are also facing growing scarcity of workers, which implies that wage growth will continue to accelerate. The share of firms expecting to raise wages over the next 3 months recently rose to its highest reading since 1989. This according to the National Federation of Independent Business's January job survey. Partly as a result, inflation expectations for the broader economy are on the rise, which has, among other things, resulted in rising interest rates recently, including rising mortgage rates. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. There was a time when the impact of changes in the price of oil on U.S. economic performance was easily predictable. Rising oil prices bad, falling oil prices good. But as pointed out by writer Greg Ipp, the relationship between oil prices and U.S. economic growth has become far more complex in recent years. For instance, between 2014 and 2016, when oil prices were collapsing, U.S. economic growth actually slowed sharply. Since the lows of 2016, oil prices have roughly doubled, but economic growth has accelerated. The explanation for this is obvious. America has emerged as not only the leading consumer of oil, but also a leading producer. While more expensive oil essentially represents a tax on consumers, that tax is being increasingly countervailed by growing investment in energy exploration and production. A growing number of jobs is tied to energy, particularly in states like Louisiana, Texas, and North Dakota. The Federal Energy Information Administration predicts that U.S. daily oil output will rise to a new record of 10.6 million barrels this year. BP projects that the U.S. will account for 18% of world oil and related output in about two decades. That will be well ahead of second-place Saudi Arabia at 13%. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. One of the most common perceptions regarding the U.S. economy is that the rich are getting richer faster than everyone else. There is certainly much data to support that perception, but as with virtually all things economic, the data are not unidirectional. Last year, hourly pay rose for every wage group, high, middle, and low. According to a report from the Economic Policy Institute entitled The State of American Wages 2017, the biggest raises went to low-income workers last year. Not only that, but as indicated by writer David Leonhardt, the pay gap between men and women continues to shrink. Last year, the median hourly wage of women rose to 84% of that of men. That's up from 78% in 2000. The gap between male and female hourly wages has effectively been cut in half since the 1970s. There are many reasons for this, including that women have become more educated than men. African Americans represent one large group for which the disadvantage in hourly earnings failed to narrow last year. The median African American hourly wage was about 75% of the median white wage, down from closer to 80% in the year 2000. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. There are at least two things that economists would like to see in any given economy. The first is that everyone who seeks a job can get one. The second is economic dynamism, which actually requires that at least some people be unemployed at any given time so that there can be movement between jobs, including movement toward rapidly expanding industries. As indicated by writer Neil Irwin, there is a theoretical and magic number for the unemployment rate that maintains these priorities in perfect balance. Economists have created an acronym for this, NARU, or the Non-Accelerating Inflation Rate of Unemployment. The problem is that increasingly it looks as if economists have no idea what this magic number actually is. For instance, does the 4.1% unemployment rate that prevailed in February represent something lower than this natural rate of unemployment presaging damaging inflation? Or could unemployment fall meaningfully further, putting more people to work without producing negative side effects such as inflation or a lack of available workers for emerging industries? A 3.5% rate of unemployment would translate into 2.4 million more people working rather than simply looking for work. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Economists spend a lot of time looking for indicators that help predict economic performance. There are many that have been identified over time, including stock prices, money supply, building permits, and manufacturers' new orders. But there might be one indicator that tops them all, the number of pregnancies. The economic downturns that began in July 1990, March of 2001, and December of 2007 were each preceded by sharp downturns in the growth rate of pregnancies. This is based on an analysis of birth months that was circulated recently as a National Bureau of Economic Research working paper. As indicated in an article by author David Leonhardt, there is evidence that the number of pregnancies, which can be viewed in part as a reflection of confidence in economic prospects, has performed better than many other economic variables in predicting these three prior recessions. That said, this pattern was not apparent in recessions transpiring prior to 1990. Still, economists are always looking for reliable ways to predict recessions and are likely to respond to this discovery by paying far more attention to quarterly birth data than they have in the past. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.